pandemic of fear and anxiety and uncertainty has been there since March, but now I talk to parents every day, moms, right? My virtual medicine platform, I can reach out to patients. So I'm very blessed that I can stay in touch with my patient base. And what I'm hearing is that parents have anxiety, but they have anxiety about their kids having anxiety. So there's anxiety on both ends. There's back to school anxiety, the huge umbrella. But I've been telling parents, so first they have to be in touch with their own emotions and check in with themselves and say, okay, what's going on for me and how am I reacting or responding to the news? Because it's changing every day, and we really don't know the answers. And in medicine, this virus has humbled us in so many ways because it's a very virulent strain. It changes so much. Does it affect kids? Does it have a seasonal? Does it have a vaccine for it? We really don't know the answers.
Mm-hmm. Which brings so much anxiety.
Yeah, uncertainty and anxiety, I'm sure, are hand in hand.
And so anxiety and uncertainty actually travel on the same pathway as the fight-flight response. Mm-hmm. So when you're uncertain about something, it turns on your stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline. And that's what wreaks havoc in our body. That's what makes us sick, and that's what the whole book is about. But what I've been telling parents is that, look, you have to check in first with yourself and make some space and time for your kids, because they're processing emotions at a very different level. You might be listening to the same news, but that news for you will land on ears that can process information differently. But for a child, it can inadvertently cause a lot of terrifying nightmares, anxiety. Their parents are saying, make sure you wear a mask, make sure you wash your hands, make sure you don't hug anybody. So they've got all these things.
Oh, yeah. That's giving me anxiety hearing that, just thinking,
kids are going to school, and then they're having to be very, very careful, and then they become very militant. So-and-so breathed on me, so-and-so coughed on me, so-and-so didn't wear a mask, and I watched Johnny, he didn't wash his hands. So that causes a lot of conflict in the classroom, and the poor teachers are having anxiety. So it really means everybody having an open discussion about it, and parents gauging what they want their kids to know. They have to be very careful as to what information their kids should have.
Mm-hmm.
So some parents are even having anxiety about not sending their kids to school. They're saying, well, if I send them to school, what happens then? My kid feels isolated. They get behind academically. And then other parents are having anxiety. Well, what if my kids stay home and I now have to find care for them?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I'm trying to work from home and supervise homeschooling. So there's anxiety on many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But checking in with themselves is the first tip I tell parents. And how you can tell is that anxiety shows up as symptoms in your body. So you might notice that you're more irritable. The mood is a big one.
Yeah.
So if you're more short with people, maybe that kind of thing?
Yeah, short fuse, even with your kids, you find yourself just
frustrated,
really agitated and restless. If you become consumed by watching the news, if you are not sleeping well at night, some parents are complaining they're getting heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
Some are saying they're getting a lot more headaches. Some are saying their eczema all of a sudden just flared up and they don't have any idea why. So I can tell you, for the last 30 years I've been doing this, 75% of the symptoms that we doctors treat in the office can be attributed to excessive stress hormones.
So the physical symptoms are linking back to stress.
The emotional symptoms, cause the physical symptoms. So that's what the mind body connection means, is that our thoughts are so powerful. And so you have to say, okay, there are things I cannot control. We cannot control what's out there, but we can control how we respond to the information that's out there.
Yeah.
And this is where parents can teach a vital life skill to their children. How do you respond?
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe everything you hear. Take a deep breath and say, okay, here are the facts. Let's respond with some knowledge and a deliberate, measured action. That's what responding means. when we react, we're just saying, okay, it's a knee jerk. And that default option is fear. When you react to something, if you don't think about it, and you just go to a place of fear, right? But respond is when you take information, you take a deep breath, and you use your conscious mind then to make a deliberate, measured response.
That's what an amazing thing to be teaching a child. Yeah, because I spent my whole childhood life reacting. We're Irish. Right. I had three little brothers, and we all reacted all the time. And I just wrote those two words down as you were talking, because I'm like, that is gold right there, is teaching them to take a breath, think about things, you know, use their own, you know, their own brain.
Their own compass.
Yeah.
The brain.
Yeah. I love that.
And then the second thing I've been teaching them, I said, look, just teach them that you can either let anxiety control you, or you can control anxiety. And what a really good way for kids is the controlled deep breathing works very well for adults. So adults can do their inhale, hold it. I call it the BMW, breath, mind, and word. I did the TED Talk on that. So that's the breath, mind, word. But what I add for the children is kids respond really well when they touch something. So if they have a little rock, a pet rock, or a piece of fur, or piece of velvet they carry around, as soon as your brain touches something, that tactile touch takes your brain waves away from anxiety, and then you can do your deep breathing. So wherever your attention goes, energy flows.
Brings your focus back to something else.
That's right. But that tactile touch, so if they pet a small dog, or they hold some velvet, these kids who are having terrifying nightmares or have panic attacks, all I do is I get them to hold something, and I say, close your eyes, do your deep breathing, and just hold this rock. And they start feeling it. I said, describe how it feels. And as soon as you divert their attention to the touch and texture, they can do their deep breathing, and then they're no longer anxious. Mm-hmm. So that's a really powerful tool, doing the breath, mind, word, BMW, but also for kids, adding a tactile component.
I was going to ask, kind of switching gears a bit, but let's say you're going to bed tonight, you know, with your kid, you've had your bedtime, and he asks, you know, what is happening, mommy, in the world right now? Like you said, every parent's different how much they want to actually explain to their kid, you know, but coming from a professional like yourself, how would you explain this to a little 7-year-old?
So just let me understand your question. So your question is, he's asking the mom?
Yeah, just what's going on right now. Like you said, we're seeing every day on the news, you know, all the deaths and everything. But for a kid who's just so doesn't know what's happening, you know, how would you explain this, being an expert?
So children often take their emotional cues from their key adults in their lives, right? So what they're watching is the news, but they're also watching how their parents react to the news. And so it's really important to gauge your reaction, and how you want to talk to the child is, yes, there are a lot of things happening out there, and the news are designed to make everybody aware. So we can be aware, but we don't have to be consumed by it. It's not all there is. There's a lot of goodness out there, too. And make sure you balance the news with a lot of good stuff. So that also helps. So balancing, talking to through stories. Stories are the most effective way to deal with children, is to show them, because they have a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. And using stories are a good way. Asking the child, what do they know about it? What is their understanding? And say, well, what do you think is going on? What do you understand? So that you can actually deal with what facts they've absorbed, and then you can respond to their facts, because their facts are very different than your facts.
Oh, for
sure. That's a great tip, yeah.
So it's kind of gauging where they're going, what they know, and sort of helping them understand it through their own channel, instead of just thinking, well, I'll tell you this and I'll tell you the truth, or our truth, I guess.
That's right. And then as a parent, then you can support your child with the correct information, taking the time to explain why, and then how to handle and navigate what their fears are. Because each child will have different fears. It's amazing that, you know, all the same news goes out to everybody, but how does it land on their ears? It's very individualized, because it's based on their experiences. So really taking the time to listen to the child and then navigate their world, helping them to see, okay, this might be an unfounded fear, but yes, you have some facts, right? But perhaps you can look at it another way.
I love your advice to focus on the positive. Like mm-hmm. even I've kind of do that myself. Okay, but the recovery rate is still over 80%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of us are getting over yeah. this little sickness out there. So that's a great reminder.
And I'm curious with children, because we know that sometimes they can be picky eaters. Sometimes they, you know, sneak into the cupboards and things like that.
Sometimes.
Are there certain foods and things with your that will affect your child's stress hormones or their stress levels? Are there things we should, you know, gravitate towards or stay away from?
Yeah, yes. That's a great question. You know, I talk about how stress impacts the immune system. How do we keep our immune system robust? And that's a really powerful tool, because stress is pervasive right now. So people don't understand that your immune status, whether you're an elderly person, because elderly people we know already are more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the fears that parents have, is that a child is going to bring home a disease to grandma. But children also can get this illness, but they have a more robust immune system. They're more resilient than we think, mentally and physically. So physically, how you can give them an edge on their immune system is the dietary component. So having your child have vitamin D. Right now, as a physician, I know that vitamin D has been studied extensively for immune diseases. And we often recommend it in our clinic for bone health for women. But actually, vitamin D is really important for the immune system. If you look at the statistics and the postmortem deaths, the ones who died actually had low levels of vitamin D in their serum.
Interesting. Wow. So yeah, the sunshine really does matter to you right now.
The sunshine, it matters to the immune system.
Yeah.
Getting your child out for fresh air. But let's stick with the food first.
Yeah.
The food, you want them to have, kids are picky eaters, but really what helps is getting the kids involved with cooking. I found that when you, depending on the age of the child, you know, just even a little child can still dip their sticks into celery sticks or vegetable sticks into a yogurt sauce. They love handling their food and sticking and dipping it into things. So having lots of vegetables or fruit cut up and using yogurt, because that's a great probiotic for the immune system. And vegetables and fruits are great phytonutrients that improve the immune system. And so making sure that, okay, the phytonutrients, the vitamins, but also good protein and good fats, avocados, things like eggs, good source meat. Not a lot of dairy, but good source dairy, organic milk and organic dairy, I do recommend for children because of the calcium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're building their bones. But from an immune point of view, you want to avoid sugary drinks, high fructose corn syrup. You want to avoid the processed, highly processed foods.
Carbs.
Carbs. Yeah. So you want to avoid that. So food for the immune system is the rainbow, the phytonutrients, every color of fruit and vegetable is great for the immune system.
Awesome.
Good to know. So, I mean, really going back to the basics, staying away from the things that made life so easy for parents, the Lunchables, mm-hmm. the little prepared snack packages that are just simple for working parents to throw in that lunch bag and go. They're not really doing, you know, the kids any good. And just going back to the full whole foods that you can get at home.
Exactly. Go back and have them involved in it. Have them peel some carrots and help them. It depends on the age of the child. But when the kid is involved with the food prep, they're more likely to eat their lunch.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent, I know how many lunches used to come home that were untouched.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that, you know, they're picking the food and they're being educated as you go shopping with them. And then they're part of the prepping process,
mm-hmm.
and then they're more likely to eat their food because they know the why behind it. It's not just good for you, but hey, if you eat this, you're less likely to get sick.
It's so true. That'll needing to know that why, because that's like the thing kids start to say at quite a young age, and they say it often. So,
why do I need broccoli? Yeah.
Yeah, why? Yeah, why do I need this? And if you can actually give them a full answer, then, that's it for them. They're like, oh, okay, now I understand, so I'll do it. You know, the fight's over, kind of.
Yeah. You know, kids are like sponges and they absorb everything in it. The key is to get them to absorb the good stuff and regurgitate it back to us. They're the best ambassadors for seat belts and non-smoking. Mm-hmm. And so if we can get them on board for food and creating a healthy immune system, wow, how good would that be?
So say I have a child and he's very quiet. He doesn't talk much about his feelings. He's quite introverted. How can I tell if he's not telling me anything physically, if he's under stress?
Well, as a parent, you want to observe your child. You know your child's behavior. If he's being unusually quiet or he's acting out, those are signs that the mm-hmm. kid is dealing with something. So it's, again, very important to create the time and space. And kids do really well if you, they may not talk, but you can get them to engage in an activity like art. So when we're doing therapy with kids that have shut down, art therapy is the best. They get their fingers in some paint, yep. and suddenly they start talking, mm-hmm. or they start drawing things that they're worried about. They'll draw a friend in bed and say, I'm worried about so-and-so because he's been sick, he might die. So then it opens up the conversation because they give you clues as they're engaged in an activity.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to have that talk, like you said. My niece is like that. Try asking her a question 101. Oh, her eyes go to the ground. It's just too much pressure, I find. Yeah. So that my sister definitely found that helped. Art or any kind of, mm-hmm. activity.
Playing trucks and cars with a little boy. All of a sudden, you know, he keeps crashing the car and he's there, you know, something happens and a conversation comes up. Oh, so-and-so. He died in a car accident because he might have seen the news.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
they absorb information and then they tend to act it out or play it out. So play therapy is the best way to get a quiet child to talk.
I've never, ever been that quiet child, so that's good to know.
Quiet and child. Oxymoron, yeah.
Definitely. So I'm curious for Vanessa being pregnant.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
She's 4 and a half months.
Pregnant.
I'm curious. Well, I want to know for her because I was pregnant. I was under a lot of stress with one of my children, and to this day, I kind of wonder, did it affect her? Are there things when you're a pregnant mom that can affect the fetus?
Okay, so do you mean in the development of the fetus?
Yeah, like if Vanessa's stressed out right now.
Well, us pregnant moms right now, the COVID babies kind of face this weird situation. We're being told to be calm by our doctors when we go visit them, but then you put on the news and my stress level's right up there with the pandemic, and then there's that guilt that I'm hurting the baby from all this extra, you know, hormones running through me of stress. Is there anything to that?
There is something to maternal stress. Yes, I even wrote about it in the book, that because the immune system for the baby actually begins in utero. So we have what we call passive and active immunity. So when you're pregnant with a baby, you're passing on antibodies to your baby. But stressed out mothers who are producing a lot of cortisol and adrenaline during the pregnancy, their ability to pass on more antibodies was decreased. And when their immune system is affected by cortisol and adrenaline, then their ability to produce the antibodies for their baby is diminished also. So it's really, people think about the emotional impact on babies, but mm-hmm. I always think about the neuroendocrine development. Like as the baby is developing, what you, the host, the mother, is the environment that the baby knows. So as a mother, you have to make sure even more, and that causes some anxiety in mothers. But you want to stay calm. You want to be around people that are inspiring and calm. You want to be in nature. You want to eat a really healthy diet. You want to do your deep breathing, because all those things are improving your immune system, and thereby you're giving your baby a better chance for passive immunity.
Interesting. I never knew that, because I'd always heard, you know, us moms are more worried about the immediate when you give birth. Will there be birth defects from me being mm-hmm. so stressed? But you don't think about the long-term effects of an immune system. So.
Oh, yeah. Right now, at 4.5 months, I mean, the whole neuroendocrine system for your baby is developing, right? So, you know, take time, Vanessa, to just go and do your deep breathing. Yoga for moms is a great activity for you. And a lot of nice reading, inspirational reading and affirmations and good food for you. So then you just know that when your baby comes out, of course, it's going to acquire its immunity through the vaginal birth and through exposure to bacteria, but your passive immunity is what you're passing on to her or him.
Awesome.
That's such a good tip.
So I won't be getting up at 4 a.m. anymore. Sorry,
yeah,
Tara.
That's it. Morning show's over.
What did you do? The first half of the show, I've got to get sleep. Dr. Paula, strict orders.
Oh, man, I'm in trouble now. Why did I set that up?
Thank you so much, though. Those are awesome. Really nice tips.
So then you've got another book coming out?
No, this is the main book is The Mind, Body, Fear Cure, and it's actually going to be released on September 15th, and I'm so excited because I just got my copy, the advanced copy. I just got it.
Oh, exciting.
And what's exciting about it is that, you know, for 30 years, I've been a physician. I was a pharmacist before that, and it's all like a pill for every ill. You're not sleeping. Mm-hmm. Here's a drug. You're depressed. Here's a drug. There's a pill for every ill. And it's what we call the intervention model. That's what our current healthcare is. But what I want to say is that my message was to all the people out there, take charge of your health. You know your mind the best. You know your body the best. You know how you respond and react. Take control of your health. Because if you don't, then you're going to be a victim of intervention, surgery, drugs. Mm-hmm. I experienced it as a patient. You know, after my car accident, I went through this for 7 years. I was pregnant, Vanessa, and I lost my baby.
Talk about stress.
I went through, you know, like I was 4 or 5 months pregnant and I had a head-on collision. It was a very sad time, but I would not be where I am today had I not experienced the big deficit in our healthcare. For 7 years, I had multiple surgeries, many, many different drugs. I went through everything. And I'm a physician and a pharmacist, so I had a night table full of drugs. But what I didn't realize, ladies, is that you have a built-in internal pharmacy. Your nervous system, your autonomic nervous system, is like this little engine in your brain. And if you learn to work with that and not press the gas all the time, just learn to put the brakes on, you not only improve your health, but you upregulate your immune system. So when you turn off the gas, like the cortisol and adrenaline, you actually produce hormones and neurotransmitters that are conducive to healing and repair.
Wow.
Right? So the opposite of fight or flight is rest and repair.
So what does that look like? Like you said, you did it yourself. Take control of your health. If you're not doing the traditional, you know, getting pills, like how does one go about even starting that journey?
Okay, it fell into my lap. I was delivering babies. I was a very busy obstetrical practice in Burnaby. And so with my dislocated shoulder and fractured ribs, I couldn't deliver babies. So I said, what can I do? So I went to Harvard Medical School to learn about counseling patients. But what happened was there was a cardiologist there. He was doing research on the autonomic nervous system. So instead of just personally transforming myself, I did a complete 360 and changed my practice professionally. So the first thing I learned is, one, we have a nervous system in our brain. Number two, how do you turn the gas off? Because if we're living in fight or flight all the time, we're going to make ourselves sick. Number three, how do we put the brakes on? And that's where I teach patients through a technique, the breath, mind, and word, deep breathing and controlled breathing is the first step. When you go quiet and do the deep breathing, you actually lower your blood pressure, your heart rate, you improve your immune system. So all of that comes first, and then the third step. The fourth step, then, is you learn to change your mindset. My mindset became so, I was traumatized from the accident. I had PTSD. I was waking up with nightmares, and my nervous system was so revved up. I think if you have time, watch the TED Talk, and you'll see, because that's what TED loved about it, is that it was an idea worth sharing.
It's your own story.
So then when I did that through the deep breathing techniques, then I was able to become more aware of my thoughts, and I completely changed my mindset from an illness mindset, a victim mindset, to a health mindset and taking charge. becoming my own best doctor. And then the light started to come on and my healing began. And then I said, okay, I can't just go back to writing drugs and surgery for everybody. I will do that for some patients, but I also want to give people the tools to take care of their health.
It's so great to know, because it gives you the power when you realize, hey, wait, I got this. Mm-hmm. I can take care of this, even, you know, for myself, even if it's just focusing and going, okay, I'm going to go for a walk today. I'm going to do that, because I know my stress gets at me, and I'll be like, I know what I have to do. And then the world takes over and I don't do it. So it's really giving yourself that power and then being your own boss and saying, no, you're going to do this because you need to.
And you know what a secret that a lot of patients don't know is that when a patient comes in and they're really interested in their health and they show that they're curious and open and want to learn information, the doctor is even more motivated to help them.
I bet.
That's what I've discovered. And when you get a combination of a passionate, genuinely concerned doctor and a patient who's open and curious and has a health mindset, that combination is a winning combination. Mm-hmm. So then you're both working for a common goal rather than a patient just saying, here, I'm here, come fix me. You know, it doesn't work as well. So that's why people right now have to really take charge of their mental health, because it's going to be a huge pandemic of mental health. I mean, antidepressant prescriptions have gone through the roof in the last 4 months. Sleeping pills, anti-anxiety. We don't have enough beds in the psychiatry wards to accommodate people. So we have to give people tools to take their health back and reclaim their power.
I blame the 80s. 2020 is fixing all those prescription things that happened in the 80s, I swear. Thank God for this awakening that we're really having right now how I see it, that we're kind of getting woken up and coming out of the 80s.
Yeah. And like you said too, taking charge of your health, even when you go to the doctor, and I'm sorry to say, but some, they're so quick to, right away, I've had that, prescribed pills off the bat. Would that be taking part of taking control of your health, saying, well, what else is there?
Yeah.
You're right. The doctors don't have a lot of time. They don't have the resources to say, okay, look, we're going to do some deep breathing and learn about food. We're going to learn about sleep. Mm-hmm. They don't have the time. That's why this model of healthcare we have is called an illness model, because it's just symptom drug, a pill for every ill. But it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
But the wellness model, where people are in charge of their health, but they go to the doctor because the doctor is still really important. You still have to have a doctor to order your tests or, you know, order some things for you and make sure that you don't have a big, bad illness. So you still need the doctor. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't go to the doctor. I'm saying keep your power and use your doctor to guide you and keep you safe.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Stay in the driver's seat.
So if we did want to check out the TED Talks, where would we go? What is that titled if I wanted to search it?
YouTube, Dr. Bell Power, YouTube. That's it.
Perfect.
Perfect.
And a lot of the stuff that I talked about, the autonomic nervous system, is in there. But because TED only wants you to have one, you're allowed to share one good idea.
Yeah.
What I really, if you have time, is to talk about the Reframe Toolkit. This is the piece that I think, you know, I made an acronym to make it easy. But if you have time, should I go through it?
What is it? The acronym? Sure.
Yeah, so the acronym is called Reframe Toolkit. And basically, the R is for reset. Reset your nervous system. And when you do the deep breathing, the BMW, that's how you reset your nervous system. The E is for exercise. And here's a piece that people don't know. They know exercise is good for you, but they don't know that when you exercise, you actually circulate your lymph. And lymph contains a lot of lymphocytes. That's what fights viruses like COVID, right? So exercise for kids and adults improves not only, you know, your heart, but it's good for your immune system, good for your brain, good for sleep. F is for food. We talked briefly about food and probiotics and phytonutrients and having vegetables and fruits. But the reason food is so important, 85% of your immune system is actually located in the gut.
Wow, 85%.
Right? Nobody talks about that. Yeah. And the R in Reframe, the second R, is for rest. and this is really important, because rest is not just about sleep, but having downtime, turning off technology. Kids are very stressed out by technology if they're on their devices all the time. And technology can actually be good for their brain, too. But we as parents have to gauge what kind of technology they're exposed to and how much they're exposed to, what the content and how much. So taking some time off to just give them nature and play and taking them to the beach, those are important ways to rest. And then, of course, the good night's sleep is very important. The A is for assess. Get in your child's head and assess, what's his world like? Walk a mile in his shoes and figure out what their world is about. And assess your own dialogue, too. Are you reacting or responding?
Mm-hmm.
And then M is for the mindset. And the mindset is a set of lenses that we look through based on our experiences. So it's really important to say, are you a fear mindset person or are you a trust mindset person? If you're in fear all the time, going to the worst case scenarios, check yourself and say, hey, that's an automatic negative thought. How do I stop that? And there's a formula that I give you that is called SODA. You stop, you observe yourself, and then D is for detach from the automatic negative thoughts, and then you plant new affirmations, gratitude. Live with a mindset of gratitude and positivity so that you can become more resilient. So that's mindset. And E is for examine. If your symptoms are becoming severe and you're now bleeding because you wash your hands so much, or you're not sleeping, you're becoming depressed or having suicidal thoughts, go and get an examination from a doctor. You are the best doctor when it comes to your mind and prevention, but you still need doctors and need to be examined if there's an intervention required.
Mm-hmm. That is so great.
That's great.
I love the acronyms too, because those really stick with me. I'm a little bit of a child still, so it definitely works like soda. I'm like, that is the soda. Best soda for you. Yeah. That's the good pop. You're allowed to have that.
The good soda.
That's
I love
the good
that.
Soda.
Yeah, it is. So your book, The Mind Body Cure, Heal Your Pain, Anxiety, and Fatigue by Controlling Chronic Stress, is out this September.
That's right.
Perfect timing. I don't know if you planned this, but...
No. And that's what the publisher was so happy. He said, this is great timing. And I was saying, oh, no, I was supposed to be the keynote person at this 3,000-person convention in Toronto, and they had to cancel it. I said, no, it's actually great timing. And the pre-orders on Amazon, it's been the bestseller for a couple of weeks.
So awesome.
Because people are Googling stress.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great time to come out in the fall. We're parents, teachers, kids. That's,
for sure.
You know, kind of the pinnacle.
Christmas around the corner, everything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Belle.